Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you, I think. I'm losing track of all time. All sense of time is gone during the quarantine. I'm joined with my friends, comedians, Jeff Oske. What's up, brother?
Hello, Mr. Todd.
You're looking dapper.
Thanks. This is an outfit my youngest picked out for the TikTok video we just did.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
I just caught your TikTok.
Thanks. Nice. I put upwards of 22 minutes into it. You could tell it was a true labor of love and passion.
Honest to God critique, Jeff has an intensity to him that the other two are lacking a little bit. And I don't know if that's commitment or just wanting to get it over with or what.
That was about take number 47, yeah. So I was ready to
anger.
Wrap it up.
Anger that he's riding right there.
Had to, gotta nail this one so we can fucking stop. Austin Real is with me. How's your world, Austin?
It's great. It's going good. I'm handling quarantine well. So,
are you still going into work?
Today was my last day.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so I'm off for a week. We're shifting back and forth. Half the company works one week, half works the other. Like in the other, people are at home working, but
yeah,
you only come in for a week at a time. That way, if you get sick,
that's smart.
Catch it at some point, so we don't decimate our whole staff.
Yeah, that's real smart.
We only have like 37 people there, so
that's a big company, though. 37 people.
Yeah, but I mean, once you know, if everyone gets sick, we're
You're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know a bunch of comedians that need jobs. So.
I know a place where I don't want any comedians working.
They probably know shit about plumbing and plumbing supplies. Man, I tell you what, I am starting to feel what I refer to as the fog of war.
Yeah.
So you know how they say, like, when you're in battle, after a certain period of time, you experience the fog of war. Like this dread, and this is kind of a surreal feeling you have where you're out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
As you know it, I'm starting to experience that now because I seldom leave this house. And my perception of reality is starting to change, and it's becoming a real thing.
Did you go out recently?
No. I barely ever go out. And when I do, I feel weird. Like I'm in the car. It feels weird to drive. It feels weird to be out doing shit. I mean, I'm afraid I'm going to just become a hermit permanently. Like I'm going to start getting a phobia of outdoors. What's that called? Agoraphobia?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to become agoraphobic.
I think lots of people are going to start living different after this.
I think
it's going to create a lot of shut-ins for sure.
I think it will. I'm getting too comfortable with not socializing. Like I just sit here in front of my computer and I just work constantly. Every now and then I'll take a break to watch like 15 minutes of some Netflix movie and then I get back to it. And when people want to reach out to me now and contact me, like my booker tries to stay in touch every now and then, and I'm just like, and I fucking put it down like, outside world, bad. No
phone. Yeah. Bad.
So it's
– I got to – as someone who goes out every day, this is going to sound bad. I like this amount of people.
Yeah,
I really do. I think this is a great amount of people to have walking around, and I'm a fan of it, to be honest. There's no traffic. There's no lines anywhere. It's great.
Too many people still out, in my opinion.
Yeah, doing some stupid shit.
I'm just like, what are you people doing? Like, how is there still some, like, I got in traffic the other day. Like, I was on the highway, and it got down to, like, 40 miles an hour. And I'm like, how is it getting...
There was a traffic jam.
It wasn't
during the pandemic.
Like normally, it would like go to 10 miles an hour for like a mile, but it went down to 40. Like it was still enough cars that it slowed down some.
That is weird.
And that was like noon when I was driving home from work. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Now when I go in, when I've started going in later. I used to leave around 4:15. Now I leave around 5, and there's mostly me and semis on the highway on my way to work.
Yeah. Your truck
people.
Can
you shoot shit with truck people, Jeff?
Do I or would I?
Do you? I mean, You strike me as having big sort of truck people.
Energy. I guess after shows, I've talked to some. I'll tell you this, Bob and Tom has a lot of trucker fans.
Yeah, that's the way it is with podcasts and radio in general. Like when we had the Sirius show with Pat, I bet you 70% of our audience were truck drivers.
Yeah.
That's the people that called in.
Road warriors.
Yeah.
Road folk.
They're usually cool as shit. Like, I handle a lot of Bob and Tom shows. Texts and stuff, and a lot of it's from truckers, and they're totally appreciative, and they're totally cool, and they're usually pretty funny. You get one or two lunatics here and there that you just have to be like, oh, you just sent 97 text messages in 13 seconds. But the rest of them, no, I mean, I don't mind truckers at all, except for when I'm driving to a gig and it's pouring down rain and I'm in like a Honda Accord and I'm a chicken shit. I'm doing like 42 in the slow lane and they're just going by me at like 65 miles an hour and I'm just crying like a woman who just found out her husband was cheating on her. Just, slow down, you're running me off the road. I can't see shit. Then I turn into a little bitch. But other than that, I'm down with the truckers.
I love truckers, man, and I love, like, truck stops. Like, that's the only place I stop when I'm on the road. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I will go out of my way to wait until an actual truck stop to get gas because the shopping is so much better. The food, if I want to buy, like, a hat or something, like, they have everything there. Like, one of these days I want to take a shower in one. They have those shower stalls.
Be like a home cooking buffet thing set up or something like that.
A lot of times they have a good wings at the truck stops.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Like they are, there's the one up at Harding and 465, that truck stop. We would stop there every morning when I landscaped and get wings. They were the best wings.
You were eating
in the
wings
city.
For breakfast. They were.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, man.
I'm going to go check this out.
By the time you got back for lunch, they were all gone because we all ate them for fucking breakfast. So you had to get that shit early. You had to get them early, my friend.
I'm interested to see. I wasn't able to find it earlier, but how alcohol sales are doing, like retail-wise, because I read in Australia the alcohol sales are up 20%.
Yeah, they're doing really well, actually. A guy that I work with, he knows he's either got a cousin or something that's a liquor rep. He talks to this guy all the time. Business is up.
Yeah. Like it's finally becoming socially acceptable to drink alone.
Yeah.
Like before it was shameful to sit by yourself and drink at home. But now it's like acceptable. And then even in Australia, now employers are trying to figure out how to handle it because they're finding out that their employees are on the clock at home. Oh. Just getting sauced.
Yes.
Having some beers.
So,
crikey,
what a new dynamic.
Dale's numbers are up. I wonder what he's doing.
That's funny.
Yeah, I just something I never thought about. Like, you get really comfortable, you know, probably your first week or two, you're like Johnny on the job, and you know, maybe you even dress up like you're still at work and you're there doing your shit. And then by week three, you're just in your underwear and a sweatshirt, a hoodie, and you're just fucking drinking Jack on the Rocks, just hammering bourbon.
Can you imagine all the crazy talking to yourself that's going to be going on when people do go back to work and they're just going to be used to sitting in some mood? Bedroom number 5 doing work somewhere.
I find myself talking to my dogs way more than it should be. Like, they're just looking at me like, you're losing it.
It's getting a little loopy out there.
Yeah.
We're like frontier folk. I feel like I live far away from all my neighbors, even though they're 20 feet, you know, to my right.
Is this why people died at such a young age back in the old pioneer days? Because you were just stuck out by yourself. You just end up going crazy. Anybody to talk to.
Take away your cell phone, Todd. Right now, you get bit by a snake. Who's going to help you? Marty's at work.
Exactly. Marty,
how long are her shifts? They're pretty long, aren't they? You're dead.
Yeah, real long.
You're dead.
And like it was, you were so isolated then. Like if right now, imagine being here. You have no internet. You have no Netflix. You have no cable, no cell phone, like nothing. You're just sitting there. Like their whole day of every day of their life was like that. Just sitting in a cabin. It's like, I mean, you can only masturbate so much. And they didn't even have like good lube or anything then. So it was like, you were just fucked. You were begging for Indians to come kill you.
Those guys didn't care about lube. They did not care about lube.
No.
I know there's probably a lot of animal fat around, though. So, I mean, there was probably something.
You're just boiling down squirrels. Yeah.
Well, Dale's got his squirrel tails boiling. He must be planning to jerk off. He's been ever since Meredith passed.
I know this is hack of shit, but for some reason today, I was working on a bit for one of the characters I write for, and I was thinking of lambskin condoms, and it's like, I know this has to be hack of shit, but like, what other animals did they go through before they settled on the lambskin? Yeah, like, did they try to, like, just, like, you know, stick their dick down, like, a boa constrictor's mouth and use that as a, like, a, like, snake. What other skins were they wrapping around their dick? And they're like, oh, no, this one busts right through. I got her pregnant. We can't use pig skin. But this sheep skin, holy shit, it was fantastic. Like, she didn't get pregnant, and we feel great.
Yeah, I would have went with all the like softest animals first. You know, I would have thought rabbit.
They're really or soft mink, maybe a mink skin, a chinchilla skin condom.
That had to have been such a chill town wherever that came out of, because you got a guy just rubbing animal parts on his dick and wearing them, and everyone's like, "It's fine. He's not going to hurt anybody. He's fine." I mean, I don't know. I think I'd pack up and leave if that were my neighbor.
Well, and what woman was cool with him being like, hey, I'm going to wrap this gizzard around my dick, and we're going to see if it keeps you from getting pregnant. And she's like, yeah, put that inside of me ASAP.
Honey, are you going to be putting innards on your penis tonight, or do you want to have dinner early? What do you want to do?
It's for research, Sharon.
I know. You're going to save the world. Overpopulation. I know. I heard it. Sure.
I see you over there butchering that lamb, but I have a headache. So don't even think about it.
Don't even think about that.
You couldn't have told me before I started chopping it up.
I'm like already to the inside.
God damn it. Now my hands are all bloody for nothing.
Here, just cook these fucking chops.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have dinner. Fuck it.
God damn it.
I saw Crimes Down, though. Crime, which makes sense.
Everyone's home.
I know. There's no businesses open to rob. There's no empty houses to burglarize.
I just saw domestic violence is up in our city.
It's got to be skyrocketing.
Less than 2 minutes ago, I read the article before I logged on here. So not all crime is down.
Let's say property crime.
What's funny is I told Maggie that, and she looked at me, and she goes, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, she wants to beat my ass already. Yeah.
Dude. Oh, Marnie and I are at odds all the time. She came home or woke up the other day. She worked all night and she woke up, and it was yesterday morning, and she just looked at me and she goes, I'm just warning you right now, I'm in a bad fucking mood. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go into bedroom number 4 and just shut the door. Yeah. I was like,
lockdown in bedroom number 4.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're stuck inside with your significant other, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. This podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. Manscaped can help you out and make the most of your time together. Manscaped promotes clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your balls. It's time to quarantine, Manscaped, and chill. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. You're probably spending more time than ever with your significant other right now, which is a real awakening. And let me tell you something. If you don't keep it clean down there, your partner will notice. Listen, my lady and I have been trying to have more sex lately because of the quarantine. There's nothing else to do, so we're like, hey, we should just start having more sex. What I didn't think about was breaking out my Lawnmower 3.0 before the last session, A lot of complaints from my lady about how rough things were down there. Don't let this happen to you. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit, the perfect tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. Listen, this third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. There are no more accidents, no more crime scenes in the shower, no more bloody shower floors. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? So why not put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Your balls. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. Now, for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, which has a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FUNTOWN at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FUNTOWN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped and use code FUNTOWN, FUNTOWN. Most people are loading up on toilet paper right now, but I'm loading up on Manscaped products. Help your relationship out during this quarantine. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you.
That was me yesterday. I was king asshole.
I'm not, I haven't got to the asshole phase. I'm just annoying. Like, I'm fucking, like, just weird talking, you know what I mean? I'm like...
You're cracking. You're getting space madness is what you're doing. You need to get out of the capsule, Todd. Todd's got space dementia.
I'm like, do you think we can make our own bacon? She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
You wouldn't last, Todd.
I could never be one of those space shuttle astronauts.
You're not going to Mars.
The isolation. Can you imagine it take you years alone just to get there? And then what are you going to do when you get there? Oh, I'm just going to continue to be alone.
Oh, I would have no problem with it whatsoever.
How long do you think you could go without speaking?
Ooh. I feel like we all have hard opinions.
Or if I just stayed in my house.
Let's just say isolated. If you were by yourself.
Oh, a year, easily.
You could go without saying things out loud.
You wouldn't even talk to without yourself? Calling anyone or talking to anyone.
Would you mutter to yourself?
Oh, I thought you meant mutter, like having yes.
Yeah,
I would talk to myself.
I
could go without talking to other people for a year easily.
Out of the three of us, if we were stuck in an Anne Frank situation, I think Oskay does the best.
Oh, no, I think I'd give us away way before. Like, because when I did finally talk, it would be like 900 octaves above everyone else, and they would hear me from like three neighborhoods away.
I feel like Jeff would eventually yell at me. you would eventually.
Knock it the fuck off!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The Nazis. I don't give a fuck about Nazis. Quit fucking chewing your food with your mouth open.
I like Jeff, but we should never be locked in anything together for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I would. You would kill me. You would hate me so much.
Todd, I think we'd last a little longer, though.
Yeah, I think so.
We would. You're pretty agreeable, though.
We'd probably develop our own sign language. Our own code to use with our hands and get by with that for quite a while, I feel like. Yeah,
we'd primate down for sure.
And I'm not afraid to, like, sleep near my own shit. Like, I can shit in an attic. It wouldn't bother me. I can get pretty fucking filthy.
You've shit in an attic before.
Yeah, and then slept next to it.
Oh, I've slept near my own shit plenty of times.
It's one thing I never read in the book or saw in the play. I saw the Diary of Anne Frank play, and it was never addressed what they did for shitting and pissing. And I was always curious as to how they handled that. Because they were up there for a very long time, right, as a family?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So where was all the shit and piss going? And I how were they keeping the odor away?
Okay, you piss in my mouth, and I'll piss in Mom's mouth, and then Dad will piss in both of our mouths.
But, Papa, there's a bucket in the corner.
I said piss in my mouth!
We're going with my plan, because I'm the dad, and I thought of it.
You know what? Now that you've pissed in my mouth, let's go with the bucket.
You're right.
You were right. I should have listened.
Todd, did you ever get to do like any time in jail while undercover or anything like that?
Yeah, I had to go to jail once. Actually, it was my very first undercover assignment, which was
you went to
DC.
Jail.
Yeah, usually.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was your very first DUI.
That came a few years later. I walked in. I was brand new, and I was being trained by this dude who looked like a legit outlaw biker. He was a real big, like bodybuilder guy, mm-hmm. like sleeved. Like he had tattoos from under his chin to his toes.
This is a cop?
A cop. His head was, he used to have, I remember him when he had real long hair, but now by the time I got there, it was just shaved, completely bald. So he looked like a legit Hell's Angel or something. And
did he look like that cop that was with Jeffrey Epstein and his cell? Big muscle bound big head.
Kind of, yeah. And here's the thing about this dude. He was a legit Satanist. Like that was his religion per se. And he had explained to me, like, because he had all these gargoyle rings and, you know, upside down crosses and shit, jewelry wise. And he always dressed like an outlaw biker. So I'm like, all right, this is my new partner for a while. He's breaking me in. I'm like, so we're in the car. And I'm like, all right, so I already heard, like, so what's a Satanist? And he was like, well, it doesn't mean I worship the devil. All it means is like we are the complete opposite of Christianity. So everything Christians believe in, we believe that you guys are all full of shit and we believe in the complete opposite. Yet still a weird amount of gargoyle paraphernalia.
Like
he lived in Fishers, Indiana in this upscale community because, you know, for people that aren't from Indiana, Fishers and Carmel are two like uppity areas of town. And he was married to an attorney, so had a big, nice house and this big, nice addition. Oh. And in his yard, like his driveway and porch are just lined with like cement statues of gargoyles and shit, like witchcraft looking stuff. And I'm like, oh, your fucking neighbors, dude. And he's like, yeah, my neighbors hate me. And he's like, his brother is a big time attorney, you know. His last name was Shapiro. So he not that means anything. Maybe I'm being a little just because he's Jewish doesn't mean anything.
Keep it rolling, Todd. Keep it rolling, baby.
But he was the most soft spoken, like nicest dude in the world. So I get my first undercover assignment on my own. I'd been with him on a few like low level pill deals and stuff. And I get called into our lieutenant's office with him. And I thought I was, you know, this was my big briefing. I'm getting cut loose on my own. And I was, but here was the deal. They were like, hey, we got an assignment for you. You're going to have to go undercover in the Rush County Jail and pretend that you were arrested on dealing cocaine charges, and you're going to have to warm up to this guy. And they show me a picture, and they said, we have an informant in the jail who's claiming that this guy is trying to hire someone to kill the cop that has the case on him. So I'm like, this is my first case? Like, this is kind of a big deal case. I have to go in and pretend to be an inmate. At the time, I weighed – you guys didn't know me then, but I weighed like 150 – pounds maybe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was real skinny. I had just long hair. I looked more like
Twink Todd.
Yeah, like a tweaker or somebody you'd want to fuck.
Twink,
yeah,
twink,
yeah.
Twink.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Lose the first part, keep the second half.
No, I was both. Yeah, the tweakers liked me because I looked like I did meth according to my weight, and the twinkers liked me because I was pretty. So
he looks hungry.
Is it that driver's license picture?
Yes. Yes. So I look kind of like a surfer dude.
Yeah, he looks like
more tweaker twink.
More, way more twink.
Yeah.
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 Like California Twink. California.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
California Surfer.
Yeah.
More than anything, actually. I would say California Surfer.
An ironic pair of cutoff jean shorts. Type guy.
Maybe wearing some flip flops. And
I always wore flip flops. I always wore
shells.
Always wore cut off camouflage cargo pants, like real military cargo pants, cut off, like long at the knee, but cut off, and flip flops everywhere I went. And it played. Like, I look like I didn't give a fuck. I was skinny enough. I could be in the meth. I could be in the heroin, whatever. And it played.
Whoa. So,
but now, what it doesn't play for is pretending to be a badass who might be into killing a cop. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't fit that profile.
Yeah.
So, I expressed that. And I was like, I know I'm new at this. But the character that I have taken on is just a fun-loving, you know, just kind of dim-witted guy who likes to smoke pot and maybe do play around in meth a little bit. And I don't think I'm right for this role. So, it was just like, you know.
I think you can play murder if you just... find that inner rage.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, well, no worries, because here's the ultimate plan. Jeff Shapiro is going to go before you. He's going to be processed in about an hour before you get there. Mm-hmm. Then they bring you in. Now, keep in mind, no one in the jail knows that we're doing this. Only the sheriff of the county knows and one state police detective. So the jailers don't know.
Guards don't know nothing.
Yeah, obviously the inmates don't know, but none of the guards or administrative people there know anything. So Jeff is brought – he's brought in by a trooper, dropped off, and booked in just like anybody else is booked in for dealing cocaine. So an hour later, I'm brought in, same thing. And by the way, these jail guards – They're pretty rude. Like, obviously, I'm having the worst day of my life in the role that I'm playing. And
that's weird. Do you think, like, the people they work with have anything to do with it or just think it's general?
I don't know. But it's not like a hotel. Okay. I can tell you that. And
jail?
Yeah. So I get processed in.
I'm learning so much.
And they put me in a holding cell because they don't have time to deal with me right now. So I'm in my flip-flops and my cut-off camouflage pants and just a T-shirt, and it's freezing-ass cold. Like, I'm in there for another hour just waiting, and I'm freezing my ass off. And they bring a guy out, put him in my cell, and he's sitting there, and I'm just like, oh, well, fuck, I don't know what this about. So I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, I got to go for court in another county, so they're moving me. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I was like, hey, is it always this fucking cold in here? And he was like, well, not usually, but we have staph infection really bad going on right now. So they've turned the heat way down. They have the AC way up to try to knock down the staph. And I'm like, this is fucking perfect. Just perfect. So I finally get processed in. I go in there. And by the time I walk in there, Shapiro has an entourage. He is like immediately the baddest motherfucker on the block. So they're like, oh, we got a real hardcore criminal in here. So he's telling stories at the metal table, and everybody in that block is just gathered around him, hanging on every word. And now, but my instructions from him before we go in there, which the same instructions he gave me when he first started teaching me undercover, was don't get wrapped up in the details. Don't run your mouth too much. The more details you try to give, the more stories you're going to have to back. Yep. And you never know when you're going to walk yourself down a road where they have more knowledge about that thing than you do. Mm-hmm. And then you're tripped up. So I'm all about, at this point, you know, I don't go into great detail about myself. I like to be a mystery, right? And so I get in there. First thing he says, he calls me Snowman. He's like, Snowman, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, got busted, dude. They just hit my house.
Shut up. You guys are doing it. We know each other. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
And he goes, I got the same case, man. And so the whole thing was, we got arrested by the same cop that put the drug charges on this dude who supposedly wants to have his cop killed. So maybe a conversation strikes up where, you know, interests are shared in getting rid of this cop. So I sit down and I'm like, don't go into too many details. Don't go into too many details. And he goes, I was just telling them that story. Remember we were in that strip club in Sarasota, Florida? What was the name of that place? And I was just like, this is violating every rule that you ever taught me. I'm like, is this a trick? Is this whole thing a trick? I'm going to flunk and they're going to kick me out of undercover. So I just start playing along and try giving details and making up stories. And we were in there for like 5-6 hours. And finally, the code for get me the fuck out of here was for me to take my shirt off. And when the trooper that was watching on the surveillance system saw that, they would send a guard down who legitimately thought that my attorney had bonded me out. And I bond out, and then Jeff bonds out. So I'm in there for about 5 or 6 hours. Jeff has – everybody loves him. We are like kings of the block all of a sudden. Of course, they're probably assuming that I'm his bitch, I'm guessing. Like, it's kind of like, oh, I see what this guy's about. He's entertainment. So I'm like, I'm not staying here any longer because Jeff's going to start whoring me out to people just to fucking support this role. So,
he wants to do all the bells and whistles.
That, and I had to
hold my pocket.
Yeah. I had to shit real bad, right? So I'm like, I am not sitting in there and shitting with the staph infection going on. So I'm like, op over, and I take my shirt off, and we bond out. And the state police guy was real pissed. He's like, dude, we thought you were spending the night in there. You know, we haven't got this thing accomplished yet. You know, how are you going to do this in like 5 hours? I was like, fuck you. I had to shit. I'm not getting staph infection. So op over for me. Kick me out of undercover. I don't give a fuck. And then Jeff, he's like, don't worry about it, dude. That guy gave me his brother's number. Mission accomplished. I'm going to stay in touch with him through his brother. I'm supposed to come back with you on visitation this Thursday. So we're like, cool. Well, it rides out. The whole thing's made up about wanting to kill the cop. This guy would not have harmed a fly. Yeah. But his brother had a big case on him that nobody knew about. He ripped off an entire semi-tractor trailer from Walmart and had like it's like a $300,000 crime, and he had the entire trailer hidden in these woods in this property in Indiana, and where's he ends up
from?
Out toward Rush County out there near Laurel, Indiana.
And those are the only people who could hide a tractor.
It's like Little Kentucky. Yeah. So he makes a deal where he's going to liquidate all these items for his brother because he's having trouble moving them. He's been moving them like one piece at a time. He's been trying to unload the whole thing. So now his new biker buddy, Jeff, has a way to unload the whole trailer. So we show up like three different visitations on a Thursday to visit with him. On the last one, his mom is there. And his mom, like, gives Jeff the biggest hug and kiss you'd ever seen. I've heard so much about you. Oh, my God. Thanks for taking care of my baby. Because Jeff would drop him, like, $50 in his commissary when he'd show up. So we end up turning over this whole stolen semi-tractor trailer that was hidden out in the woods. And, no murder, but we solved a big theft case.
Damn.
To answer your question? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so this guy basically was just light years ahead of you on the undercover game.
Oh, yeah. He'd been doing it for a decade and a half, easy.
Now, did you ever find yourself in a position like later after you'd been doing undercover work where they're like, you got to go undercover and you get paired up with a guy that you think sucks at it? Or
oh, most people suck at it. That's the problem.
Like, I'm going with this guy.
Dude, it was like, here's the problem. Like, 9 out of 10 people, they stick back there in that section, couldn't buy aspirin at a pharmacy, let alone like crack from a dude on the street. So they just can't. They're too get too much cop in them, whatever. So I think I always played it well because I had so many relatives in prison for dealing and shit. So I'm like, I grew up with all the people that I'm buying from, basically. And I mean, not literally, but, you know, same types of people.
Yeah.
So I would get farmed out. So only a few of you were actually did hand-to-hand buys yourself. Usually the other guys used informants and stuff. So if you were one of the few that could do hand-to-hands, you got farmed out and hoarded out all over the state. So I spent a lot of time traveling and buying for other cops, basically.
Poor Todd.
Yeah.
Poor Todd just getting ridden hard on the hand-to-hand.
Dude, but I was with the guy one time where he actually said out loud when we were trying to do a buy that he said they wanted him to use, and he said, hey, I don't smoke drugs. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, I kicked him out, and I had to fight. I was like, dude, I'm just ripping this guy off. I'm just literally going to take his money. I barely know the dude. Like, I had to start making excuses because I'm like, you just went through a whole school, and you came in, and you literally said out loud, I don't smoke drugs.
Now, to be fair, I don't smoke drugs is kind of a fun way to say I don't do drugs when you do drugs. I mean, so there is. How old was he?
Oh, young. He's probably mid-20s. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, not to give too much away, I, on multiple occasions, have been accused of being a cop and almost had the shit beat out of me.
Really?
For while purchasing said whatever. So
how did it go down? Give me one example, one story.
The first time it happened, I was like 18, and I was at a party that I shouldn't have been at. Was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and there was this older dude who was like 28, but like it was his house, like kind of party, but everybody there was like 18 and 19 kind of party, if right. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time I had been to a party where they had coke and like there were people doing coke in a bedroom kind of thing. Like I had just been at like drinking parties.
Right. This is the legit party.
And I came with my gangsta buddies and they were all doing a bunch of blow. I was not. And this dude just, he's like, who the fuck are you? This 28-year-old, and I'm like 115 pounds, and I'm like I'm with these guys. He goes, I don't fucking know you, and he like grabs me by the throat and like lifts me up off the ground, like holds me against the wall. It's just like, you're fucking dead, motherfucker. I know you're a fucking cop, and he starts like ripping up my shirt and like pulling my clothes down, like trying to find a wire or something type of shit. Luckily, my friends were in the other room, and somebody ran over and they're like, dude, your friend's in a shit fuck ton of trouble. And this dude's like punching around my head, the wall, like putting holes in the wall around my head as he's holding me up out of the ground with the other hand.
Jesus.
And they're like, dude, he's cool. And he's like, he's a fucking cop. I can fucking tell it. I know he's a fucking cop. And like I had to leave the party. He wouldn't let me stay. Like I left. I shook for like the next 3 hours. Like I was crying. Like it was crazy. Like, and I wasn't even buying drugs off him. I was just at a party at his house.
That coke room had to have been running for hours if that was the tempo when you walked in.
He was all amped up.
They were deep into that coke room.
Oh, he was fuck Gary. I hate that guy.
Well, it's so funny because these guys think like they're really smart at detecting cops, and they're like the worst. And I think most of them, it's just, I'm just going to assume everybody's a cop. And then, you know, if I sit here for like 4 or 5 minutes accusing you to be a cop and no cops run in the door, you're not a cop. So it's like easy to figure out, you know, he's like, I'll just write it out. Cause I was accused all the time, you know, or, you know, they'd strip search me or whatever. And he's just like, just write it out. Probably happens to a lot of people. Just don't freak out about it.
Oh no, I've had on another occasion somebody do the whole like drop your pants, like lift up your shirt, like turn around, all that. I actually ended up in the middle of a buy on accident at a friend's house or a friend of a friend. And like the dude walked in and like just laid down a briefcase and opened it up, and it was the most whatever I've ever seen in my life. And I go, all right, I'm good. I'm out of here. It was good seeing you. And the dude just pulls out a gun and sets it on the table and goes, you aren't fucking going anywhere. And I was like, can I go wait in the bathroom? And he goes, just sit the fuck down. And I'm like, okay, well, it's time for Jeff to get some new friends.
How much money got handed back and forth? Do you know?
In the five figures amounts.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Wow.
Damn.
That was a big drug deal.
Like a duffel bag.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Jesus. Which I had no idea that was going on at that location. Like, it was just a friend of mine that I was there placing gambling bets with. It was my bookie, all right? I was placing some bets, and I didn't know he was into other stuff as well.
I went to a house to commit crime, and then, like, other crime happened.
And in my head, I'm like, this is when the door gets kicked in, and I'm front page, like, Jeff Oskey and Major Bud. It's like, no, I was just there putting $20 on the Colts.
$20 on the Colts.
Dude, that's all it was. I'm dead serious. I was placing a $20 bet on the Colts.
What are you going to win for $20? What were the odds?
I don't know, like $25. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just for the fun.
It's just for the fun of it, dude. I don't know a shit about gambling.
And then a briefcase full of drugs shows up. $20 bet.
Yeah, it was the worst place I've ever been in my life. I made some major changes after that.
Have you ever been in a scary predicament like that before, Austin? Caught in the middle of something?
Oh, yeah. One time we were coming across – well, we weren't coming across the border. We were coming home from Texas, and we were on spring break, so we had been smoking weed and shit, and there were joints in the car, and we pulled up to, like, what we were told was a toll booth, but it was actually, like, a checkpoint.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that was bad. I mean, first of all, the dog just lit up right away. Right. I mean, there was no delay in it. And so the guy asked my buddy who was driving, said, "Do you smoke?" Sort of an undercover cop moment. He goes, "Cigarettes." I was like, oh, God damn it. Here we go. I am freaking out because the guy's looking around and he just decides to ask me where my shit is. You know, says it's me. He goes, "You're really going to get all your friends in trouble." So he zeroes in on me. They open up the door. Dog hops in, and you're expecting, like, you tell scary stories about attack dogs, right? Drug dogs are so chill. They're like frisbee dogs. They're out there doing tricks. I mean, they feel good. I mean, they're excited to be there. And this dog is just all up in my buddy's lap, wagging his tail, just looking at his handler. Pops off, and he says, "Okay, well, I know there's pot in the car, so why don't you guys just tell me where it's at?" My buddy's, I mean, I'll give him this. He was pretty stone cold in this, other than his little cigarettes mishap. He was calm, no voice cracking, nothing. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Right away, this guy, without missing a beat, goes, "Are you calling my dog a liar?" It's like, do not call this guy's dog a liar, dude. You better not call this guy. Do not do that. And he kind of shook his shoulders. That was it. Finally, they start talking about how they're going to cut the car apart. I mean, they'll do whatever to find it. I just ended up giving it to him. I was like, "Guys, give it to me. Just give it to me. Let's just get this over with. That was it. They laughed at us when they saw it. It was like 2.5 joints. It was such a pathetic amount. And they're used to seeing, you know.
Yeah. Bricks. They're used to false gas tanks and shit full of.
But I did for a minute cocaine. There, man. Dude, I was a wreck. I was like shaking because they were just talking about, "We'll just take you to jail. It's fine. Your friends can go."
Yeah.
And it's not like, Todd, I'm sure you've hung out with some Jeff type whole units of cops who are probably pretty intimidating. But, you know, a lot of times, like, you meet cops and they're just sort of a guy out there doing the job. Right. These guys were serious shit. I mean, every one of these dudes was jacked. They all look like The Rock. Like, they're all kind of glistening out in the sun all day. And it's no way I'm calling that guy's dog a liar. Not going to happen.
Dude, back in the heyday of meth labs was the most fun I've probably ever had in my life.
Well, I'm glad somebody was enjoying it, Todd.
It was so much fun, dude. We would just hanging around those people, going in their houses and making buys, and then we'd hit 3 or 4 houses in a night, you know, with search warrants, and just it would snowball because you'd do one, then you'd find evidence of, you know, somebody else they were working with. So you would just run all, for 2 days just doing them. Busting meth labs straight.
Yeah.
Because there were so many here in Indiana, dude. It was just like you couldn't throw a ball and not hit a house that was cooking meth, it seemed like then.
I love, like, one year it was like there were 22 meth lab busts in Indiana, and the following year there was like 1,100 meth lab busts. Like, in one year they went up over 1,000 busts in like one year in Indiana.
It was so crazy. Dude, we were in this one dude's house, and it was the first documented meth lab to get busted in actual in the city limits of Indianapolis. But my buddy had gotten me in there, so I went in with his informant, and I go in there to buy just – I think I was buying maybe like an eight ball. And so I'm – it's like 3.5 grams. So I'm in there, and I keep hearing this person talking, and it sounded like the person was on helium when they were talking, like sucking helium out of a balloon and then talking. And I'm like, that's so fucking weird. So finally, we move into the living room from the kitchen area, and when we do – there's like a bedroom or a room that's probably used to be a dining room, but now it's made into a bedroom. And so there's just a bed there and a bunch of shit on the floor. And there's this tiny person in the bed, a woman who is like a little person, kind of, but not really, like completely, proportionate.
So okay.
Well, she looked like an elf. Like a movie elf, petite. But in real life.
Very petite.
Like only probably under, she's probably 3'9", but completely in proportion, and even had pointy ears. Like she had these ears that went up in a point. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So when she gets up to say hi.
Where were you?
That meth absorbed through your skin, my friend.
So she gets up and is completely naked, and her legs don't work. So she starts talking to me, and she has to grab her leg with her hand and throw it up over the other leg in order to cross.
This
and
is then, like Twin Peaks right now. What is going so bizarre.
I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, I think this is a real elf. Like, this guy he's captured an elf, and he's keeping it here enslaved to live in his meth house. So we end up busting the place. Like, after we leave, it was a by bus. So they come in and raid the place, and they have to haul her out. They have to carry her out. She doesn't have a wheelchair or any way to get around, even though her legs don't work, and put her in a car and drive her off. And to this day, I would swear to you, she was a real elf. Like, there's no other explanation. Talk like an elf would speak. Not like Lord of the Rings elves, where they're, you know, they've really.
But like, I make gifts, like toy maker elves.
Yes, yes. Or make cookies, like Kiba elves.
Make meth. I'll tell you what, ever since we got this elf broad, meth is flying out of this trailer.
Yeah. Ernie's sister, he makes cookies in a tree. His sister makes meth in a fucking trailer.
Keebler crack.
Yeah, Keebler. It's the elf that went awry.
It was the most bizarre 2 or 3
years. So was she hot?
No, not at all. Not at all. Kind of scary looking, to be honest.
Not a cute elf.
Like, her teeth even look kind of pointy. Like,
that's the meth.
She had meth teeth, but also made her look sinister, like she would eat you. You know what I mean? Like,
if anyone could catch an elf, meth heads. They would have the energy. They would have the energy to be like, you will not believe what we found.
I never followed up, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did. Like, when they fingerprinted her or whatever, like, she didn't, there was no, it didn't come back.
No fingerprints.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a blank. Yeah. It's just all black.
It's like maybe she just, you know, got hooked on meth. Santa kicked her out of the North Pole. She's just wandering the streets of Indianapolis, Indiana, and this guy finds her at the bus stop.
I actually looked into this because I've been thinking about you being undercover, and it just blows my mind because I believe what'd you say your undercover name was?
TJ Flannery.
And when I asked you what TJ stood for, you're like, I don't know. I feel like that's taking no details a little too far. I feel like you should be able to go Thomas Joseph. Like that.
I was going to go Todd James, but they let me do my license as just TJ. So I was like, I'm just going to go with TJ and just not ever answer why.
The thing, though, is that is even more perfect.
It's small town Indiana, like rural Indiana. Fucking,
I've known people like JR, and you're like, oh, what's that stand for? And they go, what do you mean?
I know.
And it's like, no, that's my name. It's JR. And it's about? Like, well, does it stand? Yeah, no. Fucking JR, dumbass. It's like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm the idiot. My bad. Like,
that's like our friend, our comedian friend, DJ Dangler. He's got a whole bit about how his parents just wanted to name something DJ. And yeah. He was like their ninth kid, apparently, from what I understand. And they finally used it on him.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah.
So, what's the craziest? Because when I think undercover, I just think Miami Vice. And how wild.
Did I just steal DJ's joke and repeat it back with different names?
I don't know.
Not that I know of. No, I've never heard that from
me. Maybe that's where I got that idea from. I think I just changed DJ to TJ or RJ or whatever the fuck it was.
I don't think you did. I've never heard him say that, and I've seen him do a lot of sets.
My bad. Anyway.
So, Todd, what do we want to call this? Bit. What is this moment where I?
Oh, your segment.
I'm gonna bring you heathens into the light on something.
Maybe we just
I'm gonna talk down to you for a
yeah,
little bit.
And I think you're good at that. So maybe it's just I don't know, Professor Real. Professor Real.
Yeah. Let's call it. Let's get real.
Let's get real.
We'll work on it.
I don't know. I we're calling it. Let's get real.
Let's get real.
Okay. So I looked into this. Todd, do you know where undercover police work, like, officially started? You don't know the history?
Can I make a guess?
Yeah. Where do you think?
I'm going to make a guess that it started in New York.
Snitches have to be as old as time, but this is, like, official, organized.
I think
undercover, not plain clothes. That's different. Oh,
yeah, that is different. I was about to say where plain clothes started. Yeah, I have no idea.
I have a vote. Can't
wait to hear. Yeah, okay.
Jeff?
With Judas and Jesus.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That could be.
But if it depends on what, you might not feel that way depending on what religion you are. That might just be a silly trifle between friends, depending on certain people.
I'm just saying he was undercover in the group, and they used him. He brought down the whole gang.
But okay. He does have a point. Maybe the whole bringing him down was just some kind of disagreement that occurred in the carpenters union.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jesus is getting all the cabinet work, guys. You know I do cabinets.
I'm going to guess that it was something to do with the Pinkerton Detective Agency.
No, okay. It's actually before that. So it was in France, right? Right around the turn of the 19th century. So going from 1700s into 1800s for anyone who has trouble with that century scheme that we use. I feel like we could have done better.
What else was going on in the
centuries, don't you? Sorry, go ahead.
What else was going on in that time period so I have a frame of reference? Was that Industrial Revolution?
We just put a cap on the Revolutionary War. So okay. America's up and running. Probably Industrial Revolution starting to happen a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
This is going to be – no one – if I say something wrong on here and someone's listening to this, just – shut the fuck
just
up.
Just go with it.
I'm rattling off so many hard opinions that aren't followed up by anything here that this is crazy. Okay, so at first it was just plainclothes cops, which, Todd, what would you say the difference is between undercover and plainclothes exactly?
Plainclothes are just so they can walk amongst the street and the people and observe crime happen.
And not draw attention.
And not draw attention to themselves.
Okay, now I understand a distinct difference, too, is that a plainclothes officer has to let you know that they're a cop if they're in that capacity.
I don't know about that.
Undercover, you're allowed to completely, like, ignore your duties to preserve.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Like, as if you're a plainclothes cop and you try to act as a cop, you've got to show some identification.
Yeah, you got to.
Where undercover, you can just lie, 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 lie.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. See, I got this 100%.
We're good liars. Yeah.
Okay, so the over a basically a decade, this unit went from 8 people to 60 people because it was working so Holy well. Shit. And then they even had secret people that only a handful of people in the undercover group knew were also undercover. And those people weren't paid money. They were just given gambling license, apparently. So these are other criminals. I mean, would you say there's some of that going on too? Like you guys completely look the other way on crime to a certain degree because that person is just an amazing snitch.
Especially back in the beginning stages of undercover. I think there was very much a blurred line between the cops and the actual criminals. Yeah.
Okay. So now the guy that started this, Todd, I really like. Okay. Jeff, I think you'll like him too. He's not a normal guy. He's very Miami Vice though. So it started by this guy named Eugene Francois Vidocq.
Oh,
I probably said that wrong.
I would have went with EF on my undercover license. I would have shortened Edward Francois.
Yeah. EF. What's that stand for? I don't know. So this guy's pretty ruckusy little kid. His dad had him arrested when he was a teenager for selling the family silver plates. Right. And he does 2 weeks in jail when he's 13. So kind of your experience, you know, you were around criminals. Mm-hmm. Did you do any criminal activity when you were a kid?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Nothing big time, but I was a shit ass. Yeah.
This is 19th century French Todd. I feel like it's what we're getting here. So he gets out, he continues to steal. All right. And he can't really stand the life anymore. So he goes back home and that doesn't work out. So then he leaves and he joins up with carnies as a kid. And he played the part of a cannibal where he had to eat raw meat. He decided that was a bad idea, bounced out of there. started doing the puppets, apparently, because he thought it was fun to manipulate people and to make people think things. Just let me know if any of this
little,
is
the behavioral trait that might come in play later. Yeah.
And then that ended when he was trying to have sex with his boss's wife, and that was not happening.
The head puppet guy.
Yep.
don't fuck around with the puppet master's wife.
So the dude goes home, returns home, and decides to join the army. And within 6 months, he dueled 15 people and killed 2. I guess he was a fantastic swordsman. So he's got.
What happened to the other 13?
I guess they're just maimed. Maybe
they just give up.
Nice attempt, my friend. We will call it a draw.
They're all sitting in the trailer trying to get their legs to work again.
Yeah, the other 13 stabbed the shit out of him. He has like 13 holes in his fucking stomach that he had to recover from.
Stop! I quit.
Okay, enough.
So he was just combative with people. He had a hard time staying in rank, sort of. I guess would be the way that
makes sense.
He didn't respect that. And I mean, mm-hmm. I think in his eyes, if you were dumb, it didn't matter how long.
Kind of opposed authority.
Yep. So because of the 2 killings, I believe, he had to go to jail for a little bit, like the brig. And while he was in there for 2 weeks, he helped some guys there forge documents and help him escape, but didn't leave himself, which I thought was funny.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be out in 2 weeks for murder. Why run early? I mean,
it's only 1790.
Yes.
We know. I only got 3 weeks for the last murder.
So he gets out. He gets out, and then at this time, France goes to war with Austria. So they kind of ship everyone off. Whatever he did didn't matter. And he does pretty well. He gets a promotion to corporal. And at his promotion ceremony, he sees the next highest officer and challenges him to a duel. immediately starts a fight with the guy.
He just constantly challenging people to duels.
So as soon as you said that, I just pictured like an MMA fight, and it just shows his picture and like 13-2, you know.
See a guy with no neck and cauliflower ears swinging a sword around wildly, threatening everyone. So this guy,
and did hell? He do it with like take the glove off and slap the dude in the face? Well, challenge him to do it.
That's the only way to challenge somebody to a duel, right?
Because these are like army guys, so it either had real aggressive drunk maniac energy, or it was very showy and sort of flamboyant, which I think would have also been very entertaining.
Like one hand was on a hip.
And honor was such a big deal back then. What sucked about if you were a loudmouth drunk is that you weren't allowed to, like, dishonor was not a thing, so you couldn't back out of things. If you, like, you got drunk that night and I challenged you to a duel, I had to go through with it the next day. There was no, like, dude, I was drunk. My family would disown me. Were you going to back out of a duel? I was fucking drunk. I didn't know what I was saying.
Talk about everything just escalating so quickly. Someone's like, I challenged you to a duel. And everyone's like, whoa, what? No. What are you talking about?
Hold up.
So, all right. So this guy, the guy won't fight him, so he just assaults him anyway. And because in the French military, if you assault a ranking officer, it's actually you can be sentenced to death for it.
Oh.
So he decides to quit. He bails out. He goes AWOL and just re-enlists in a different French army unit. Just went and found a different one to pop in.
I'm just riding 14 miles that way. They do not have the internet yet. They will not hear tale of what I have done.
So that he decided after doing that, no, I don't want to be in the army, quits and decides he's just going to go live a life as just a petty thief. Also, it is noted that no one liked him.
I can imagine not.
Really?
There's probably several duels first day.
Sounds like a great dude. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. I figured you're loving this guy. He's probably got a neck tattoo.
Imagine back then how much easier it is than now. Like you could just assault someone and go, get on your horse and ride for 4 days and start a new life. And no one gave a shit. No one knew who you were.
No one has any idea.
My name's Paul. Nice to meet you. I just came in from where the fuck ever, and now I'm going to build me a log cabin and fucking find me a little woman, and we're going to have me a house.
Switch your letters. TJ, JT.
You look like TJ. I don't know that motherfucker.
Before.
This is exactly how you legally changed your name and assumed a new identity in that time period. Is you did exactly what Jeff said. You get on a horse, you ride 4 days, stop at that town. When somebody asks you your name, you just make one up, and then you're that person forever.
Yeah,
I don't think in 4 days, but you go an hour. I just walk an hour, start it over.
Yeah.
So as he's living as a petty thief, he gets arrested, and since he was a deserter, he couldn't get any valid papers, so he lied and said he was this guy named Mansour Rousseau from Lille, if I understand this. And as Rousseau, he decided to join another military unit. But this was what's called a flying army, which I was very confused after this, so I had to go back and
look. A lot of trapeze. They do all of their stuff on trapeze.
There's spandex. There's so much glitter.
Where are all these guys coming from? They're coming from the trapeze. They're swinging in.
A flying army, I guess, is a smaller group of men, usually, that can either run around quickly or move on horse. So they take flight, as you will, and they're fast. And this army, talk about just finding your tribe here a little bit. This army was not commissioned or sanctioned in any way. And these are guys that just made their own uniforms and just rode out robbing people under the guise of being a uniform. And while serving with these guys, Eugene did receive a promotion from lieutenant to captain, and he gave this promotion to himself.
Of course, it's not a real army.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Make up your own rules.
So it's then that Eugene met a woman
And but this woman left him for a real soldier, apparently, and Eugene didn't like that, so he assaulted them both.
Did he challenge them both to a duel?
Nope. I think he just attacked. I think he's done with. I don't think he even.
Another good way to get divorced back then. Can you challenge your wife to a duel?
All right, you not you. How about I'll fight your wife?
Yeah,
I'll fight your wife left-handed. How about that?
So he goes to jail for 3 months because the soldiers sued him, which I feel like maybe it was a little bit more sophisticated than we're giving it credit for. If you're suing people for assault back then. And he thrived in jail, made friends easy. This is Jeff.
This is awesome.
Right now. I would not thrive in jail. I wouldn't go to jail. I would run the rest of my life. I would be the biggest bitch the second I walked in. I would be the biggest mark. I would lose all my commissary within the first 3 minutes of getting there. My parents would get shook down. I would be the worst person in jail. I would be horrible at it.
There he helped more men forge papers. He's a bit of a forger, and he gets his 3 months extended sort of indefinitely till they figure out what to do with him. And this is where he began escaping himself. And apparently within a few weeks, because that's what they gave him extra, he escaped several times. So they just kept running him back. So it was at this point that he decided to make himself valuable as an informant.
Nice.
And he was able to become an informant because he had managed to somehow hit it back off with the soldier's girl who left him, who he assaulted. So she was helping him escape over and over, and she's kind of juiced in. She's got some money. Now it's more like your buddy up in Fisher's.
Like, yeah. One person escapes jail once. Your jail sucks. Like, he escaped multiple times.
It must have been fun for everybody to some degree.
Not one jailer was like, hey, I know we're watching everybody, but keep an extra close eye on that motherfucker. This is his third time this week. He's fucking
trying to. Maybe we just chain him to a tree or something. Yeah,
fuck that guy.
Yeah. I can just see the guards being like, Eugene's been in there working on that third bar all day. He's almost got it. As soon as he gets through, let's nail him. He's been working so hard on it, though. So this is where he starts the unit. And goes in all that crap I said in the beginning there, where because he was an informant, they finally made him an official cop and they gave him his own police unit. So it does say that he significantly lowered crime during this time and that he wasn't he felt like he wasn't paid very much. So he took side gigs for people doing investigative work.
And ripping off criminals.
Well, and some people say he might have been organizing a criminal ring to get people to go places to commit crimes, and then they come in and arrest him because he got like money per criminal caught.
Yeah, that was back in the days too, where they paid you a commission on arrest. I mean, nothing breeds corruption more than a cop on commission.
Guys, dude, that's insane.
Wyatt Earp worked on commission. He had like 150 arrests the first month they put him in Tombstone.
So Eugene insisted on training all of his officers himself, and one of his big things he did was character work.
So this like improv games or like
a level 4 improv class.
He's a big yes and guy. Yeah.
Exactly. Always be saying yes.
Duel, yes and.
let's see. He caught 15 assassins, shut down 38 fences, which I think was people. I'd hope he wasn't just closing a fence there.
I invented gates. I've been closing fences all year.
That was his like law and order. Like gate closed.
And basically old boy just went on doing whatever he wanted until he died. He did hire a ghostwriter, I guess, for his memoir because he wasn't from what I'm gathering,
literate
is he was very enthusiastic, just not very tactful. So it's amazing he invented undercover police work.
That's an incredible story. I think, first of all, I think we call this segment Real History, R-E-E-L, history.
I like it.
Keep it to historical things right now, because that's like an incredible fucking find. We should make a movie about that guy. What a life he lived. I never even heard of that guy.
Yeah, I guess he ended up going to jail for fraud in the end. So,
Of course.
Yeah, I feel like it worked out.
The only thing I would change is I would take him from France and make that an American story. It'd be way more cool.
It was just Miami Vice the entire time. I'm like, this guy's killing people. He's fighting everybody. I mean, he's having a great time.
Oh, I so wanted to be Miami Vice growing up.
Oh, I love it.
Didn't we all? I mean, the two coolest dudes.
Dude, my eighth grade graduation, I dressed. My dad took me to the store in Washington Square Mall, which if you aren't from Indiana, you don't know what the fuck that is. But there
just
was
know
a store
the mall in your town that eventually closed because of crime.
Yeah. This store called Merry-Go-Round, and they had, I got a white jacket with light gray pinstripes.
Shut up. I got
a pink shirt with a with the gray knit tie. I had the boat shoes, no socks, pegged pants. Oh, it was fire.
Just the best, dude. I mean, that was show changed everything for people our age.
Have you seen the movie, though, Miami Vice?
No.
Because Michael Mann did the TV show, and then he decided after doing like Heat and crap that, all right, I'm going to go do Miami Vice, right? A lot of people hate it. I happen to think it's one of the best movies ever made.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it had Colin Farrell in it, Oscar. It had Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
And you know what? I did see that. That was great.
I thought it was a great movie. People shit on it.
Colin Farrell is kind of acting like he doesn't know he's filming a movie and like he thinks he's just in an immersive undercover training. Like, I guarantee you bring up that movie for Colin Farrell at the time he was a cop. Miami for summer.
Like, what are you talking about? I was really a cop.
Yeah,
exactly. I wasn't making a movie.
But it's great. I love it. It's got a fantastic shootout in it. It's not quite on the par with Heat,
right?
But it's pretty damn good.
I thought it was a pretty fucking good movie.
God, that Heat shootout, Jesus.
God, one of the best scenes.
Easy.
It's on par. You know what was another good one since then was The Town. The big final shootout in The Town was the closest I think someone has come to that shootout in the heat scene. Yeah.
I feel like, though, you have to be, when you film a shootout like that, like you're paying homage to Michael Mann. He invented that.
Always.
He really revolutionized that heat scene is like monumental.
Because you're never gonna make a better scene than that. All you can do is try to pay tribute to it a little bit.
Now, I will say the opening to, I believe, The Dark Knight.
Oh yeah, with the Joker.
Yeah, that is comparable to me to the Heat opening. Like they both are like, holy shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is on. Like very clean. This is fantastic. Yeah, like you got me. I'll watch the next 7 hours. Whatever you give to me after this, I'm in.
I'll give you guys a homework assignment if you haven't seen it. Watch Way of the Gun.
Oh, I've seen it.
Benicio del Toro and Ryan Philippe. Is
that how he says his name? I'm trying to think what their names are. Longbow and something else. When he punches Sarah Silverman outside the club when she's yelling at him.
Oscar, it's one of the coolest guy movies of all time. And it has a very, very, very high level shootout scene in it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty good shootout scene for sure.
Way of the Gun.
And the opening scene, Sarah Silverman gets punched in the mouth. It is the funniest thing of all time.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, this has been a fun episode. We're going to keep that segment. That segment's pretty, that was a lot of fun.
I hope I can get another one going. I'm not going to lie. These things kind of, I drift real far down the internet looking for stuff.
I know. Sometimes those things are lightning in a bottle too. It's like you find a gem and then you chase it forever. But
we'll see.
But it's a good one, real history.
Yeah, I loved it. I knew none of that. I'm still voting for Judas as the original.
I think he is the
original informant.
That's the OG Crockett.
Yeah,
sandals, long hair, beard. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what that chapter in the Bible is named, but it should be renamed The Informant. Like if it were a book on tape right now, that chapter would be The Informant, and it would be all about Judas's betrayal.
Jesus.
It was great seeing you guys.
Great like always, you, man. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody at home. Keep sharing the podcast. You're doing great. Things are growing, even in these tough times. And check us out on social media.
We're here for you.
At Funtown Podcast, everywhere the social media exists. And
as long as you don't want my sanitizer or my toilet paper, I'm here for you.
You guys are the best. Oh, yeah. Did you ever get the 12 gauge?
I know, I pussied out. I'm taking the family and moving over to Todd's if shit goes down.
Bedroom number five.
Here's what we'll do. I have an extra gun. One day we'll go shoot it, and you can just borrow it for a while.
Okay, good. I'm going to kill somebody and return it.
Gun rentals are up for the pandemic.
It has no serial numbers
they
on it.
They did say so gun know. Ranges are considered essential.
They are. Yes, I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
And gun stores.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Let's
shit
go.
Goes down. I'm not going to be ready.
I'm not going to be ready, yo. All right, we're out.